We're going to begin by talking about cultural competence. Have you ever got something very wrong, maybe without meaning to, because you had a very imperfect understanding of someone else's culture? I'll give you an example. Taryn Betteridge applied for a job with Generation One, which is the organisation to bring all Australians together to end the disparity between Indigenous and non-Indigenous people. Mining magnate Andrew Forrest is the bloke behind it. And look, you've probably heard about Taryn, because she applied for this job and was allegedly knocked back because she didn't look Aboriginal enough. Here she is on Triple J's Hack Program.
I just think it's unbelievable. I think the first thing we have to do before closing the gap is understand that who our Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander people are in this country. And I think people need to really understand that Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander people come in all shapes, all sizes, all colours. You know, we don't all look the same. And we live in Australia. We need to change.
The woman you're about to meet is working on trying to prevent this kind of incident. Bronwyn Lumby is the founder and director of CCCA, the Centre for Cultural Competence Australia, which provides online training in Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander cultural competence. And she's with me in the studio. Hello, Bronwyn.
Hi, Richard. How are you?
Good. How did you react when you heard that story?
Well, I wasn't surprised at all, because this type of thing is quite common in Australia, and Indigenous people face this kind of questioning and disbelief often. I've had that myself.
Right. Yeah, well, I'm interested in that. Have you experienced discrimination? I mean, you may well have experienced discrimination, but yeah, disbelief, discrimination, either end of the spectrum, I guess.
Yes, all those things. I remember going for a health check once to the hospital, and the nurse said to me she had to ask whether I was Aboriginal or Torres Strait Islander person. And I said, yes, I'm Aboriginal. And she said, well, was your mother or your grandmother? And I said, no, I am.
Right.
And she looked at me rather puzzled.
Because you are quite light skinned.
Yes, I am.
Yeah. But this is about identity.
Yes, it is. And Aboriginal identity is a little bit more than skin colour.
Yes, indeed. But do you think the firm, the promotional company, was acting maliciously?
No, I don't think so. I think that largely most Australians are quite ignorant when it comes to who are Aboriginal people, as Taryn rightly said. And so this is why the Centre for Cultural Competence has developed this course, so that it's accessible to all Australians to be able to learn such things.
Mm. How common is this particular problem for Aboriginal people, especially when they're looking for jobs?
It's very, very common. On one part of the spectrum, you have people affected by racism because of the colour of their skin being darker, etc. Mm. And on the other side, you have people who are fairer, who are discriminated against and told they're, one, not Aboriginal enough, don't look Aboriginal, two, middle classed, and all these, you know, variety of sort of measures.
Yes, you can get it coming and going, can't you?
You can. You can be too educated, you know. You can have all these things. People are really used to thinking about Aboriginal people living in the bush, being a particular colour, you know, being a particular way. And when you have somebody who's perhaps articulate, lighter skinned, people are a bit confused and don't think they're Aboriginal enough.
It occurs to me there's a couple of things at least going on here. One is that there are, I suppose, many forms of identity that are also hard to see. Do you think we're just as bad at all of them, or is it a particular issue between non-Indigenous and Indigenous Australia?
Well, we focus particularly on Indigenous and non-Indigenous Australia, but I can see that there are many cultures in Australia and many mixes of cultures, and so people do get a little bit confused. And we like to see people's ethnicity quite quickly, and we like to make assumptions about who they are.
Yes.
And what they might be, you know, based on what people look like. Well, you know, the world has changed, and so we need to change those views.
Yeah. But even though we can see difference in a very multicultural, multi-ethnic society that we are, it's easy to see them in many cases. We're still, most of us, fairly ignorant about them.
Well, we definitely are, because some of the people that we actually see identify as Australian, not as something they might particularly look like. So, yeah, largely we need to change our behaviour.
Yeah. On Life Matters today, I'm speaking with Bronwyn Lumby. She's founder and director of the Centre for Cultural Competence Australia. They're an online provider of Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander cultural competence training. In that snippet that we just heard from Taryn Betteridge, she was talking about the many different ways that Aboriginal Australians look. And this issue of identity is one that you are looking at as part of your PhD. How important is the way that you look, how dark your skin is, to identifying and being identified as Aboriginal in Australia?
Well, I guess it's important for non-Indigenous people who particularly like to see Aboriginality as a colour of skin. But for Indigenous people, it's not about skin colour. It's about your kinship ties, your family connections, your bloodline, your connection to country. It's many other variables as how we measure identity.
Right. Is there any sense in which the firm that made this mistake, that apparently rejected Taryn Betteridge for not being dark of skin enough, was acting in a way rationally?
Well, I think they probably hadn't had any training. We expect people to act in a particular way, but if we don't provide training in that particular area, how do we expect them to make the right decisions? So if they had had training in cultural competence, they would have understood that Aboriginality is something different, and they would have perhaps asked somebody, are you Aboriginal or Torres Strait Islander? And if the person identified, then yes, they are.
Right. So they may well have been labouring under the misapprehension that actually it's about that's the hue of the skin is the key issue.
That's exactly right.
playing to non-Aboriginal Australia. So let's go for a darker coloured person because we're trying to gain attention to this particular issue.
Yeah,
I suppose I'm trying to work out how they did this, and that's what occurs to me.
So they were probably set to hire Indigenous people, and so they themselves might have assumed that there was a particular look about that, and that if they got people with darker skin colour, then people would identify them quickly.
Yeah.
But Indigenous people will identify each other by names, by kinship relations, and many other things.
Right. Yeah, so it's a much more complex, nuanced thing.
Yes.
The irony is, as you've mentioned, Generation One have been set up with the explicit aim of ending discrimination. How well do you think other Australian workplaces understand Aboriginal culture and how it impacts on employment?
Well, the Centre for Cultural Competence Australia is big supporters of Generation One because you need to actually have that social movement to get people aware of the cause before you can actually make change. So the centre, we're offering the tools to make that change. So I think that out there in the workforce, people need to make courses such as ours quite mandatory, and so that all their staff are actually acting in a culturally competent way.
Mm-hmm.
And so if all your staff have been trained in cultural competence, then you know that they'll behave and act in a particular way.
So the ABC came to you and said, look, we've identified this is an issue that we need to address. What would you teach us?
In a course?
Mm.
Well, firstly, you would start with who are Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander people. You'd have to cover a lot of historical ground, which our course does, but you have to move it into contemporary times, understanding statistics. So you have to understand how things came to be about, unemployment, education, all those sort of stats that we hear often. We have to understand how they came about being. It's not just because Aboriginal people don't want to work, don't want to go to school, are just naturally unhealthy. So we have to understand how those things came about being. And so courses like ours cover all of that, and plus also you have to teach people the skills to change. So we have to cover racism, we have to cover what is cultural competence and how we can change what you know into what you can do.
Right. But as a general rule, before people have this kind of training, is it sensible to say to people, look, ask gently, explore it gently rather than stumbling in and putting your foot in it?
Well, I think that there have been some cases where people have stumbled by accident. A friend of mine did cultural awareness training, for example, just recently, and she was told not to look at Aboriginal people and not to feed Muslim people. And so I think some of those things are a little bit hilarious. And so if she had done proper cultural competence training, she would understand that those things are geographical or occasion specific. And so she was actually quite scared of interviewing Aboriginal people and interviewing Muslim people.
Mm. Because she was concerned she couldn't look at Aboriginal
people. Yeah, that's right.
I can't imagine interviewing someone in the same room as me and not looking at them.
Exactly, that's right. And that's very geographical and very cultural. So in different parts of Australia, that might be the case. But certainly in Sydney, in an interview process, not the case.
Right. Now, I know you're about to train 500-odd health professionals, a shade over that, actually.
Yes.
What are the special considerations that doctors and nurses and other people working in the health field need to take into account?
So in health particularly, like in many areas, there are certain cultural aspects that people need to consider. And one is the way in which Aboriginal families are formed. So we have kinship relations, which are a little bit different. So for example, you might make a medical appointment for somebody and they might bring along several support people or different people. And you might think, well, we're just one person at a time, but that's not how it works. There are other aspects in regards to transport, economic considerations, and also particular health things that are prevalent for Indigenous people, like diabetes, etc. And so if you don't know someone's Indigenous, you might not ask about those things.
So what skills do you try and pass on with the training? I mean, obviously there's a knowledge base that you've already talked about, but part of it seems to me is just learning to engage and to pay attention.
Well, definitely. And our foundational course, which is what we call step one of a pathway to cultural competence, the last part of that course is called engaging community strategy. Mm. And so you're actually required to work out who's in your community, who are the Indigenous people, whose land you're on, how do you actually engage with the Indigenous community, who are the people that you speak to and access if you're wanting to do the step two, which is local specific training.
Do you think this sort of training will also open opportunities for, say, Aboriginal employment? We were talking about the health sector. In the health sector?
Definitely, I'd say it would open up opportunities, because if your workplace is culturally competent, more Indigenous people are inclined to apply for positions and inclined to stay. So retention will be much better.
Right. And you started this business, what, a couple of years ago?
I started...
2007, I'm thinking.
The centre has been running now for a couple of years, but our online program has only just come live in May this year.
Right.
So we've spent a great deal of time researching and developing the content in association with many Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander people across the country, including myself.
Well, it sounds like there's going to be more call for what you do.
Well, we have estimates of over 100,000 people in the next 12 months who want to be trained.
Right. That is interesting. Thank you very much, Bronwyn.
Thank you, Richard.
For shining some light on that for us today. Bronwyn Lumby's founder and director of CCCA, the Centre for Cultural Competence Australia, which is an online provider of Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander cultural competence training. I think they're the first accredited one.
Yes.
With that sort of skills-based approach. Actually, you can find more details on the website abc.net.au/rn/lifematters to find out more information. Look, just while you're there too, I think this is incredibly interesting, because I think many of us, you maybe as well, I certainly have, make mistakes without meaning to. And all of a sudden you realise, oh God, I put my foot in it there. If you've done something like that, with the best will in the world, do get in touch. You can hit us through the website, send us an email from there, or just use the story-based commenting. And you can find us on Facebook too. And you can always ring us up, 02833 1430, 02833 1430. That's the number to call to leave a message. Coming up a bit later, we'll get a take on modern masculinity from Brendan Cowher, who's the actor, writer and director. But before that, the search for the spiritual.